This third part now is on 2 Corinthians. And it's also, talking about our triumph over the shortcomings, the sufferings of life in the body and death. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He's talking about being in Macedonia, which is to the east of Corinth. After we had come to Macedonia, however, there was no rest for this body of ours. Far from it, we found trouble on all sides, quarrels outside, misgivings inside. But God comforts the miserable, and he comforted us by the arrival of Titus. And not only by his arrival, but also by the comfort which he gained from you. He told us all about how you want to see me, how sorry you were, and how concerned you were for me, and so forth. And so he's going on with that now, you see. And so he says, our hope for you is firm. For we know that as you share in the sufferings, you also share in the encouragement. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that came to us in the province of Asia. We were weighed down utterly beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had accepted within ourselves the sentence of death, that we might trust not in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. If you're really in a lot of failure, surrounded by enemies, sick, you finally say, well, I give up. You know, I can't hold myself in existence. And that's the whole point. That's what Paul experienced, you see. My hope is firm. And then, there's lines that are not in our liturgical text. They've been omitted to make it a little briefer, but I'm going to read part of that. He rescued us from such great danger of death that he will continue to rescue us. In him we have put our hope that he will also rescue us again. As you help us with prayer, so that thanks will be given by many on our behalf for the gift granted us through the prayers of many. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience that we have conducted ourselves in this world, and especially toward you, with the simplicity and sincerity of God, and not by human wisdom, but by the grace of God. How would you like to be able to say that? I know what I'm doing is what God is telling me to do, and my heart is at peace. Even though it's meeting with contradiction, and they're arguing, and they're biting, fighting with me, and they're contradicting me, and I'm at peace. I did think it'd be better, oh, let me die, I've had enough of this. But the Lord came and helped me, you see? And so, now we're back to the part we have for the reading on this Sunday. For we write you nothing but what you can read and understand, and I hope that you will understand completely, as you have come to understand us partially, that we are your boast, as you are also ours on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever think about that? Suppose you spend your life really helping people. They're all going to be there at your judgment witnessing. And Jesus is going to say, come, blessed of my Father, you know, I was discouraged, I was hungry, I was broke, and you gave me money and not expected it back. You're going to say, when did I ever do that? And he's going to say, whenever you did it for anybody else, you did it for me, especially the least of my brethren. So that's what he's saying, you see. You are our boast. We're your boast and you're ours on the day of our Lord Jesus. With this confidence, I formally intended to come to you so that you might receive a double favor. You see? And then we go on with our text, you see? Now, this is interesting, you see? Because it's this discussion of death. If you look biblically at this issue, death came about through separation from God by sin. And that's a fact. Only the Bible takes it on. See, for most other cultures, the goal of life was to die well, face death. But with what anger, with what disappointment, my life is being snuffed out by forces bigger than I am. Best I can do is grin, laugh, you know. We have people today who do this, you see. No. Jesus Christ has overcome that. Death comes to us because of sin. And while we still carry that, we don't die. You see, as Paul says, for God's faithful people, life is changed, not ended. That's in the preface for the Mass for the dead. Life is changed, not ended. This confrontation, when we have no other awareness of anything, you avoid death. As I say, those newspapers, they won't even use the word death. You know, it's just, how real is that? How real is that? Then what do you expect? You see, there's no knowing that the Son of God himself passed by this way. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? That's in the Bible. You see? Why? Because God himself entered death, broke its back, and conquered it. We pass through it, but through it, we're not dead. We may need time of purification before we see God, but it's guaranteed. Guaranteed. Think about that. There's no more uncertainty. We know, and most of the suffering in purgatory is seeing how much our sins have offended God and seeing how they keep us from seeing God. So we weep. Saints do that already. That's the gift of tears. They start weeping now. God, how could I have done these things? Whatever they are. I mean, Camillo Stiletus was a roustabout, a soldier, womanizer, you know. But other people weren't like that. But still, they see how their sin, you see, what it really is, an offense against God, who is love. Now, that may take some time, but it's part of the gift of tears. The other part, and I used to wonder about this, all these saints weeping over their sins. I thought, my gosh, if they're weeping over their sins, I better get started. And then I realized it's a gift. You can pray for it. It's a gift to see the love of Jesus Christ in his eyes and to see what our sin has done. And we weep. And that's what this text is talking about. You see, it's this death. Only the Bible really takes on death because it's the only one that has an answer. You see, the Son of God has passed by this way and transformed it so that as I'm joined to him in the act of love in which he died, which has happened at baptism and at every Holy Communion, you see, I know where I'm going. Now, I've sinned. I'm not ready. And it could be really hard, you know. But it's over. I know where I'm going. Part of the suffering is catching a glimpse, knowing, like the saints did in this life, knowing where we're going. You see? That's the gift. And so, that's why the martyrs could be so courageous. The Holy Spirit strengthened them with certitude that this suffering will be over, and because you've borne witness to Christ, you will see him. The Father will embrace you. It won't be long now. And he strengthens them to go through this, you see. And it's amazing. You know, some of the saints were filled with such joy in the middle of their martyrdom. They say of Jean Brebeuf, that he was in an ecstasy the whole time they were torturing him. Well, if I get martyred, I hope I get that, but I probably won't. But I will be strengthened. The Holy Spirit will be there. The Lord promises, don't worry about what you're going to say. But that implies also, don't worry about what you're going to do. And so, this fact of death, we look at open, you see? And so, but I'm telling you all this so that you can know that those who are in Christ Jesus never die, because death is separation from God, and that never happens to them. Is it frightening? I bet it is, you know? But humiliating, sure, I'm falling apart. But there's more. There's more. I have the life of the Trinity in me, and that can never die. That can never die. You know, our Lord had this conversation with the Sadducees, who, you see, we say, oh, we're wondering about, you know, the Old Testament was not as clear, obviously, because Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead yet. But there is this text in Luke, huh? Some Sadducees, those who deny there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to him. You know the question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brothers. Now there were, you see, seven brothers. They all died. They married the same woman. They all died childless. And the woman died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? See, they think they've got him. Jesus' answer, you see, the children of God, it was said to them, the children of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those are deemed worthy to attain the coming age and the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. In one of the other, this is Luke, in the other synoptics, you don't understand the scriptures or the power of God. They can no longer die. They're like angels, and they are the children of God because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, and now he's going to appeal to this deathlessness. Because, you see, if you're in union with God, if you're being taken care of by God, you're not dead. Listen how our Lord argues. From the Torah, because the Sadducees only accept the Torah, the first five books, that the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. If he's the God of these people, they're alive. God is not the dead, God of the dead. You see, because to be in union with God is to be alive. Death is separation from God, not just that your body gives out. And so Jesus is arguing, you see. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So to him, all are alive. What an argument. How beautiful, right? The dead who die joined to God aren't dead. They don't have a body right now. Some of the scribes said, you've answered well. That was pretty good. And they no longer dared ask him. But you see how, from the very understanding of what death is and who God is, Jesus answered them. And that's important, because that's the point of this whole story.